Hello, KKFI listeners, and welcome to this week's edition of Every Woman Here. This is Una with my wonderful wife, Fiona, sitting behind the soundboard and engineering for us today.
Hello.
Hello, Fiona. And, of course, we have Anthony joining us here as co-host. Hi, Anthony.
Hello.
We have a really great show for you today. We're going to be talking with a representative from FarmHer, an organization that is designed to encourage and foster women's involvement in agriculture. Margie Geiler-Alanis is on the phone with us, and we'll be bringing her in to talk to us for just a minute here on this wonderful Saturday that we're stuck inside in the cold studio.
We are not stuck inside. We're in this beautiful air-conditioned splendor, and we have some wonderful volunteers in the next room who are standing by for anyone's calls if anyone wants to donate to help support wonderful programming like this on KKFI.
Yes, exactly. This is our pledge drive here. I think the pledge drive is going on for two more days, and so you haven't escaped yet. And we'd like to encourage any of our listeners who enjoy the programming that KKFI provides, especially what we do here on Every Woman, to phone in. And, you know, like I said last week, no donation is too large. So if you would really like to support this sort of programming we do here that is meant to assist, uplift, and celebrate every woman, please call us at 888-931-0901, or you can go online on that web thing to kkfi.org/donate. And I know the link works because I set it up myself, because I'm also one of the web mistresses here.
Which makes you saying that web thing as if you know nothing about technology really funny.
I'm a simple woman. I lead a simple life. I don't understand these things, but somehow I make them work.
You do yourself disjustice. Injustice? Whatever.
So anyways, before we get started, just one more time, if you want to call in and help support Every Woman and KKFI, please phone us at 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org/donate. And I don't need to spell donate, do I?
I hope not either. They can always phone in and ask how to spell it.
Our listeners are some of the most intelligent people that you would find anywhere on the planet, so I'm certain that they're so smart they can actually get on the web just by the sheer power of their intellect. They don't even need a browser or a phone or anything, because that's just how good our audience really is.
Now that you've told our audience how wonderful they are, why don't you tell them more about how wonderful our guest is, and we can get to talking to them.
Yes, exactly. We're patiently waiting on the phone. We have Margie Geiler-Alanis, who is the founder and president of FarmHer Incorporated, and let's see if she can hear us. Margie, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you very much for being on Every Woman. It's really glad to have you here today, because your organization came to my attention because you have a local event that's going to be here in Kansas City. We'll talk a little bit about that later. But it really spoke to me reading the mission on your website, as well as watching some of the television programs and the podcast that you have on there and hearing about it. But for our listeners, let's just take a half step back and have you tell them, what is FarmHer?
Well, FarmHer is, in a nutshell, it's the way that we shine a light and empower and inspire women involved in agriculture. I actually, FarmHer was, if you would have asked me 5 years ago what FarmHer was, I couldn't have told you that. But I actually am born and raised here in Iowa. I grew up in the country, but my parents weren't farmers, but my grandparents were. And I went to college for graphic design, journalism, and photography. And somehow, right after college, found my way to working in insurance, because that's a real common thing here in Des Moines. We have a lot of insurance.
Of course.
And it was a crop insurance company, so I spent a little over a decade climbing the ladder at a large crop insurance company that provides insurance for farmers all over the country. And I had gotten to a point where I was ready to leave that job, and so I made that leap, and I did, but I did so without knowing what I was going to do. And the weekend after I left, the Super Bowl was on, and this was in 2013, and there was a commercial on during the Super Bowl, and it was this beautiful commercial, a Ram truck commercial, very tough and gritty, all these images of farmers and ranchers in the United States, and such was a speech by Paul Harvey, and it was just awe-inspiring. With a photography background, I mean, just the simplicity of the photos, you know, I loved it. I can still tell you exactly how I felt as I was sitting there watching it. But nothing struck me as odd about it. I read an article then in our newspaper about a week later that pointed out, wow, that was an amazing commercial. Where were the women? And by the way, where are the women pictured anywhere in agriculture? And so a middle-of-the-night revelation after reading that led me to start a photography project called Farm Her. And my very simple goal at that point was to photograph 7 or 8 women right here in central Iowa. And I didn't know what I was going to do with those pictures or who was going to want to look at them or who was going to care about it as much as I did. But so that's 5 years ago, that's where Farm Her sat. So that's why my long answer to your question of what is Farm Her, it very much started as a way to show people through those images what women do in agriculture. And that's still what we do today. We just do it a little differently.
You were way ahead of the curve, because just in the last few weeks I've seen discussions online about how is my job represented. And actually it's not just women in this case, it's men and women. If scientists, if they're in astronomy, the only pictures you find, if there's any brochures trying to encourage people to come to the university, is a guy in a white lab coat with a poorly angled telescope, or a geologist. If you go out and search for images of a geologist, it's some guy standing looking at a rock as if he's never seen a rock before. It's never a woman. So you are very, very ahead of the time and alert to spot that back then. Tell us how Farm Her has grown since then as well, please.
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Could you tell us as well how Farm Her has grown since then, please?
Yes, very. It obviously has grown and changed so much, you know, but what we do is still very much the same. And thank you for pointing that out about other industries as well. It's such a thing that I can't say that I ever stopped to think much about what my image of a farmer is, other than someone looking like my grandpa. But it is, in fact, very different. So I still did that photo project that summer. That was in 2013, and I did photograph those 8 women. And I heard you talking about you are the web mistress or one of the web mistresses. I became the web mistress for Farm Her. It was just me, and I had to figure out how to put up a basic website, and really with the goal of sharing these pictures with anybody who was interested, and social media pages. And so that's what I did, and just serendipitously, as soon as I put that out there, very quickly I started getting amazing feedback from women all over the country, all over the world, saying thank you for showing what I do. I never realized that, you know, it was just kind of one of those shocking things for a lot of people, even women in agriculture who are in those boots every day out there in that field. And so I realized very quickly that this was something I wanted to keep doing, because it feeds my soul very much, and it's the best work I've ever done, and it excites me. It doesn't feel like work. And so I had to kind of back my way into figuring out how do I make this keep going, because this is just a photo project that, quite honestly, like, I was just spending my own money on, and remember, I had just quit my job, so that wasn't an option for really much longer. And so somebody asked me if they could purchase a T-shirt that said Farm Her, and that's when it kind of came to me that, well, this is not just the name of my photo project. This is a term that can define these women, and something that they can be proud of. So we started selling some T-shirts. I designed a couple of those, and that kind of started to give it a little bit of legs. And then that next winter, I made myself very busy. I really sat down and wrote out this calendar of how what I was going to do every day for like an hour to try to tell people about Farmer. So one day I would just like research events that I could go to, and I would reach out and say, could you let me come speak, or can you let me come put up photos, maybe some banners with some photos, and share these stories. And so I filled up my calendar, and I started going anywhere I could. I put 25,000 miles on my car that year. And it was awesome and amazing, and it's so great to be connecting these women, to see them light up when you're out there talking to them and kind of filling up their cup about what they do, because what they do is not a 9-to-5 job. It's a life, and it's a it never stops. You know, livestock cows don't take spring break. You know, so it's very empowering for me and empowering for them. And so we started, I very quickly found myself with my head underwater. And so I brought on an intern from Iowa State University. And that summer, she worked on a plan to host an event for young women. Our goal, our age range was 16 to 22, to inspire and empower and connect them with each other and with women who are in the agriculture industry. And our only goal with that was to not lose money, because we didn't have any to lose. And so we did it. We sold 250 tickets. It was sold out, and it was absolutely awesome. And so we kept doing those. And so now we have hosted those young women's events in states around the country, 11 events. We'll have 6 more over the next year. And we host events for all ages women. And then, so, you know, that event side of things is growing. I still was trying to talk to anybody and everybody because about Farm Project or speak about it. If anybody invites me to do that, I'd love to do that. And then the TV show rolled in. So it was serendipitous.
Well, I can see why people would want to buy a T-shirt with FarmHer on it, because it's an awesome name. When you think back and you think of women in farming, it's always in books and in movies presented as the farmer's wife. They're never actually the farmer. They're always the adjunct. They collect chicken eggs or feed the chickens, and they feed people and then send them back out into the field to harvest and do the hard work. They're never actually the person doing things themselves or focused on. They're just an adjunct. But FarmHer puts the focus and the emphasis on them, that they are in farming and they do all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. They do. And, you know, every farm, every woman has different roles. And sometimes I still meet people who say, well, you don't want to come film me or photograph me. I'm just a farmer's wife. I'm just a farm mom. And my response is, you aren't just the farmer's wife. You aren't just the farm mom. You're a farmer, too. And we all play a lot of different roles. So you're a wife and a mom, too, which is amazing. But, you know, and some people just work on maybe the business side of the farm and keep the books or something like that. And that's every bit as important as well. So we try to encompass anything and everything agriculture related with FarmHer. We visited scientists, you know, we visited women running businesses that are ag related. So it really runs the gamut. But I always have to remind people, you're not just the farm wife, you're a FarmHer.
So you mentioned the event for young women between 16 and 22. What is the event coming up in Kansas City?
Yeah, so we have those events. We've been hosting those, and they sell out every time. They're awesome. They're fun, inspiring. And what was happening is we were getting women coming to us, maybe that were, say, 30 years old or 40 or 50 or whatever, and they would say, can I come to this event? And we never wanted to turn anybody away, but the content was very much pointed at somebody who's just getting out in the world. And so we decided to start an event called I Am FarmHer, and that is an all-ages event, and we host it once a year. And so it's a national conference. Last year we had people from 23 states, ages 18 to 81 in attendance. So it really runs the gamut. It can be, I think, about half of the attendees were farmers, working in the ag field and or ranchers, and then the other half will women who work in professional roles in agriculture, like maybe they work for an insurance company like I used to, or a seed company or something like that. So that's what the event is coming up in Kansas City. It's June 25th to the 27th. And it very much has the same theme of connect, empower, and inspire. Everything we do there, we want women to leave with a little bit of education. But our main goal with these events is to connect these women with each other, because I really think that's where making those relationships and those connections with each other is really where we can grow in the long term. Because women are good at connecting, they're good at networking, they're good at talking to each other, sharing, and, you know, with that comes growth and positive.
And I see that you have a variety of events that you are covering there. You're going to have a keynote speaker, Chris Chin from the Missouri Department of Agriculture, networking breaks, topics dealing with women's health, dealing with how to market the branding from the, market a farm's brand to consumers and so forth, and even early morning yoga sessions, I see.
Yeah, we have a little something for everybody. It's not your typical farm conference, that is for sure. We also, one really fun thing we've got on that Women's Health Panel, I just was looking at this on our website, and I think one morning we have a self-defense class, too.
Because I saw that.
And we all use a little bit of empowerment and being able to protect ourselves if we need to. You know, if your car breaks down or your truck breaks down, you have to change a tire late at night. Or, you know, we've got this young woman who had a situation like that, and she got attacked, and then she turned it around, and she now teaches people self-defense. So something kind of cool and different that, again, you don't see it at every event, but I think it'll be well-received.
And I saw online that this is a very significantly growing segment because I'm sorry, Fiona wants to jump in and say something. No, she doesn't?
Yeah. I was just going to say 1 minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. That in the United States, I read that 30% of the farm operators in the U.S. are now women, which has tripled in the last three decades. So as recently as just 30 years ago, only 10% of farms were owned and operated by women.
Mm-hmm. And part of that growth does have to do with how they've collected the data for the census. They didn't always count the women. And they still are working on perfecting that. But it is a growing segment of agriculture. The number of women-owned farms is on the rise, where the number of farms owned by men is on the decline. So it is in agriculture where you don't always have, it's been a steady decline over many, many years, many decades, really. It's the women are a shining spot in agriculture. They care deeply about the land and the livestock or whatever it is that they do. And I think we're starting to really see them come to the forefront.
Well, we're going to take a very short break, and then we'll be right back with you. And I'm going to play a wonderful spot, and then we're going to be back talking about how important KKFI is for all our listeners.
Hi, everyone. This is Bill Sundahl, and we are kicking off a champions match right now. So call in the next 7 minutes and get your donation matched by our generous champion. And you can dial 888-931-0901 and do that, or go to kkfi.org. Fund as many hours of KKFI's programming as you can and get your donation matched right now. 888-931-0901 or go to kkfi.org.
Woohoo! Champions win!
And our champion that's winning this time, if we can take all of her money away, is Kathy Peters. We have a champions match, and she is donating $100 if you can all match it and take it away from her. So we'd love for all of our listeners to call in and pledge to match that $100 to take Kathy's money away from her.
And we're setting the timer for 7 minutes for you to call in and grab Kathy by the ankles and shake her upside down till everything falls out. And we really don't want to have to do that to Kathy, you know, because she's such a wonderful lady.
She might hurt her ankles.
Yes, she's been a longtime volunteer here for many, many years and still does quite a lot of work for us, as many people do here at KKFI, where we have well more than 100 volunteers working, slaving away to bring you original broadcasting and fascinating guests like our guest who is talking about celebrating and publicizing and getting awareness out for women in agriculture. So the timer has started, and we encourage you to phone in and donate. The line to phone in, of course, is 888-931-0901, or you can go to kkfi.org/donate. And as I said, everyone out there should know how to do that. So, Margie, yes, like I was saying, it is a very quickly growing segment in our society, and we had some guests on earlier this year in another wonderful segment from Kenya who were talking about how a similar revolution is happening in their country, where at one time only practically no women owned or operated farms, and now it has increased to the lofty total of, I think, 10%, which of course is not fantastic, but is also at least a sign of progress. I was really intrigued by your television programs that you can view online that you call RFD TV, basically. And I think you have 47 episodes up total, and they cover the gamut of women, young and old. As you said, women that are scientists. You have a focus on the future farmers of America. You have women that are working in livestock and agriculture. I mean, tell us a little bit about the RFD TV Farm Her shows. Hello?
Riding home from an event is completely weary and ready to check it all, as it happens, you know, sometimes when you're just dead tired. I get this voice message from this guy named Patrick Gotch, and he left a message and said, "Hi, my name's Patrick. I'm the founder of RFD TV. Give me a call." And so, long story short, they had seen something about Farm Her, and it intrigued him. And they have a television network that focuses on rural America. So it's in about 53 million households nationwide, like, so DirecTV, Dish Network distribute it, Sling TV, and Roku, you know, there's many different ways to watch it. And so we put our heads together and came up with a way to take what I was doing with Farm Her as a photography project and to jump that into a television show. So starting in September of 2016, we kicked off our first season of Farm Her on RFD TV, and it's a weekly 30-minute television show where I still go and photograph at all of these farms, but I'm the host of the TV show as well. So sometimes people ask if my camera's a prop, and they say absolutely not. I'm still there to photograph. But I get the pleasure of following these women through their day and getting a little peek into their life. And while what ties them all together is agriculture, I mean, it's really stories of people's lives and what they do and why they do it, and kind of pulling out that beauty that women definitely bring to agriculture. And so we travel the country, a few videographers, a producer, and myself, and shoot the TV show. So our goal is to continue to show diversity in agriculture, show different ages, ethnic groups, to give people an idea of there's so many places that your food comes from. It's absolutely amazing to get to see behind the scenes. And so even if you don't think you care at all about agriculture, I promise you, if you watch the show, you find it interesting. We just got done filming at a crawfish farm, a huge crawfish farm in Louisiana. We went to a rice farm. We went to a sugarcane farm. We have been to a cranberry bog. We went to a woman who farms on the ocean raising oysters, you know. So it's not just what you would think of, that typical farm picture, especially those of us here in the Midwest, of maybe corn or soybeans. It's you know, wine grapes in California or hops in New Hampshire. It's women raising their own hops and starting a brewery, you know. I mean, it's so many different cool things, and it's turned out to be one of the neatest things I get to do.
Una pumped her fists in the studio when you said about the women raising the hops and starting their own brewery.
Well, I have to be forgiven for that. I'm just really, really enthused about that. Just like I'm enthused about putting on quality programming here. I mean, isn't that a smooth segue? We have just a few minutes left here in our Champions Challenge. Again, if you'd like to hear more about wonderful programs about women and helping to empower other women, women that have done tremendous things in the community, whether that's here in Kansas City or the global community in general, please consider donating to help keep us on the air, because Mr. Sundahl is very mean and he beats us sometimes if we don't raise enough money.
No, but if I can't say that. Before, he's probably going to after he hears you say that.
I could say if it's obvious comedy or parody.
Okay.
I can't say honestly that he holds a whip or anything. Well, I don't know what he does on his weekends, but anyways.
Most of his weekends he's working here.
You can phone us at 888-931-0901. We have a couple more minutes in our Champions Challenge, or go to kkfi.org/donate. And one thing that I wanted to say, Margie, was that the cinematography and the photography of your episodes is really very high quality, and folks can go online and view both seasons for free. Just go on and click and view them and become inspired. Do you have a season 3 in the works?
Yeah, it's about 2/3 of the way filmed already. It'll start airing next September. So new episodes air every Friday night, and then they rerun on Sunday night at 8:30 Central on our DTV, and then we put clips up on YouTube, so you can always go there and look at those. Like I said, it's available on a variety of streaming places, and you can go read the blogs and all of that on our website, gunther.com, too. But, yeah, I am blessed to work with some amazing people, and there's one... When it first started, I thought that we needed to have women photographing or filming the show, and then I met John Kettlehut at RFE-TV, and I saw his beautiful work, and I felt like I just fell in love with the types of imagery that he was able to create. And so he's a lead videographer, and it's absolutely beautiful what he captures.
That is just really wonderful. I haven't seen all of the programs, but I'm looking forward to seeing them. And we have reached the end of our Champions Challenge, and we did have a match for the $100 by someone only identifying themselves as the Shrew of Sorrows, Dark Goth Queen of the Night. I think that's...
We wouldn't know who that is, would we?
No, I actually don't. And all I can say is that I hope that the Shrew of Sorrows check clears, and no, I'm just teasing.
Yeah, because shrews need to eat a lot, so...
Yes, of course.
I don't want them to be impecunious.
So thank you very much for the match, and we are still, of course, taking donations. You can feel free to call in during our program here as we continue talking with Margie about Farm Her. I'll repeat it one more time just because people have short attention spans and whatever, or they may have just fallen onto the station by accident from another station they were looking for, and they're just absolutely intrigued by what we're talking about here. That's 888-931-0901 or kkfi.org/donate.
So, Margie, is there... What all does Farm Her do to represent women in agriculture to the general public who's not necessarily interested?
I would say the biggest thing is the TV show, because that airs, like I said, nationwide. And it airs, you can watch it in New York, you can watch it in California, you know, wherever you are. But so sharing those stories and spreading that little bit of awareness about women and about agriculture is probably the most widespread thing we do. We have a radio show, and it airs on SiriusXM, and that is also released as a podcast as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be an ag audience. And, you know, it's very hard to get people who are not involved or engaged in agriculture to pay attention to agriculture because it's not exciting, you know, to most people. But we try to reach people where they're at and keep trying to find different ways to connect with people. We connect very well with women, obviously. So we try to put ourselves maybe at events where they aren't just an ag focus. We've tried to create more merchandise that is maybe a little bit of a broader appeal, not just to people in agriculture. And, you know, we spread that through mailing lists, through being at events, stuff like that. We are getting ready to do a big display at the Iowa State Fair, and a million people attend that. And obviously, those million people aren't all engaged in agriculture. And so fun ways to get people to engage through the images, because everybody loves a photograph. I mean, maybe I'm just biased as a photographer, but, you know, photography and imagery can move anybody, regardless of the subject matter. And so I really think that that's such a broad appeal. So, you know, we try to get those pictures out there and connecting with people outside of our core whenever we can.
Yeah, one of the things I found cool about the TV show was the little things that just normal people could relate to. I remember in one segment there was a woman who named her cows after lipsticks. And
right.
It's just, yeah. So
I didn't see that one.
Crystal Blinn. Yeah, she's, I mean, when you think of a farmer, you don't think about makeup, but she is this, like, girly girl. And, yeah, every time they have a new cow, she names it after a name of her. She loves lipstick, and so she's got tons of it. She's like, I'm probably one of the only people who puts lipstick on to go out and take care of my cows, but it makes me feel good. So it's funny. But, yeah, that's the thing. We try to always make it relatable, whether it's the food that comes from their farm or something about them.
Now, wait a second. I just have to return to the lipstick named cow. Did she name them after specific colors, or was it like, this is Urban Decay, this is Sephora, this is Max Factor?
Specific colors that she loves within those brands. So I saw her makeup collection. She has, I have like two lipsticks, right? She has like 250, I don't know how many she has, but she loves it. Like, that feeds her. And I can't remember specifically what their names were, but like the actual name of the color of the lipstick.
Or something.
So, other people.
We need to take a quick station break, and then we can come back to discussing lipstick shades and the cows that wear them.
I'm thinking of cows wearing lipstick. That's not good.
Yeah, I really shouldn't have said that.
The Mid-America Regional Council Air Quality Program has issued an orange ozone alert today, which indicates high levels of ozone pollution in our air. Individuals with asthma or other breathing problems, heart conditions, and all young children and seniors should limit their outdoor activity. Please avoid unnecessary driving today and postpone mowing your lawn and refueling your vehicle to help reduce pollution. For more information, visit marc.org/airq.
And we're back with our guest, Margie from FarmHer, and we were just talking about cows named for lipsticks.
Yeah, a little bit of everything is FarmHer.
Do you have problems persuading some people that they ought to be on the show? Do they think they're too ordinary and no one would be interested, or does everyone leap at the chance?
We have a lot of people who leap at the chance. So people sign up on our website, farmher.com, and there's thousands of people in our database that have people who've signed themselves up, but more regularly, like their daughter or their sister or somebody who works with them or their husband signs them up. And so a lot of times when I'll call somebody and say, you know, we're going to be in your area filming, so-and-so has signed you up, I love your story. Sometimes they're like, whoa, 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 a TV show, I think if they've seen it too, then we have a comfort level with what we do. And so I don't usually have to talk people into it.
Yeah, they're probably afraid it would be some farming equivalent of The Apprentice or Survivor or something.
Oh, God, don't bring Trump into it.
I didn't mean to, but I was reading some news this week about his behavior during the show in a defamation suit, and so he was stuck in the back of my mind, which is not where I want him.
Well, at some point, maybe one of the cows is going to sue because its name is like Passion Blush or something. I know that you also have a radio show that runs on Sirius XM and podcast, too. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so our goal with Farm Herd has been to continue to meet people where they are at. And everybody wants to connect in different ways. So, you know, sometimes it's TV, sometimes it's social media. And last year, we launched a podcast in last September in 2017. And it was something new. I love to talk, you know, so it seemed like kind of a fit. But I've always relied on the imagery with Farm Herd before. So it's something definitely different for us. And it has been, there's a learning curve, just like there was a learning curve, I guess, for the TV hosting as well. But we've enjoyed it. We've had fun with it. We get to talk to different people. We obviously talk to women, and it's called Shining Bright. And our goal with that is not just to tell the stories of women involved in agriculture, but it's to talk about unique. Everyone's got something really cool about them. You know, you just have to dig it out sometimes. So we like to, you know, focus on something they're doing that's unique or different. And we have a lot of fun doing it, too. We have a little segment called The Farm Herd where parts of my team get together and we laugh and talk about what's going on in the world, you know. So, yeah, it's been a fun thing. And then we worked with RFD TV to launch it into a SiriusXM radio show. They have a Sirius channel as well, and in addition to television. And that started in January. And the next thing we're working on, it's recorded live to tape right now because I had to learn what I was doing, but we're getting ready to start doing live shows later this year. So another step in growth and changing. So it's pretty fun. Stories of women.
So why, in your opinion, is seeing women in agriculture important to young women and girls?
I think one of my biggest beliefs is if you can see it, then you can go do it. No different from what we were talking about with the pictures of, you know, when you see a picture of somebody doing something, that it's showing how strong they are, or how beautiful they are, or how intelligent they are, or hardworking. And you get those things out of that picture, and it's something that can empower you. I think that it opens up a whole world of what you could go do. And so we really operate on that belief of if you can see it, you can go do it. And showing these young women what they can go be and what they can go do is amazing, and it's working. I mean, we have these grow events, and we've been doing them for 3 years now, and they're just, we have young women on a regular basis who come in there and go through our day event, and they'll leave saying, I didn't know that I could go do this, but I met this woman, and I realized that she's just a person too, and it made me think maybe I could go do this, you know? So I think it's so important for young people to see visually, you know, people in strong roles, whether that's science or technology or farming, you know. And so that to me is the biggest thing that this, why this matters for young women.
Do women, in your experience, have trouble or difficulty with the business side of agriculture, whether it's making deals with businesses or making connections?
I think it can be a struggle. I definitely hear from a lot of people who struggle with, you know, hey, I went to my bank to get this loan and they won't take me seriously. I would say women definitely don't struggle with running the business. I think that they excel at that. I think that they'll do whatever they have to do to keep something they love going. But I think in agriculture, especially, I mean, it has kind of always been a man's world. And sometimes those things are slow to change. And so having those connections and the, what we can talk to each other and learn from each other about how they've dealt with that at our events is, to me, such that's where that growth comes in. Because, yeah, that does still exist out there. You know, there are people that aren't going to view you as a customer, and they may not really believe that you can operate a farm, but you can. And, you know, having that stick-to-itiveness to keep at it is necessary, and having that network of women that you can go to that have been through that same thing, it's huge. And those networks haven't always been there, and that's one of the things that we really drive people towards is have that group, have that network, have the people going back on. So when you do feel like you hit one of those, you know, hurdles, you can jump over it with the help of those women that have your back or that they've been through that.
Yeah, exactly. Agriculture has been around hundreds of years, unfortunately predominantly controlled by men. Do you have any idea how women have evolved and been able to create and make their own space in agriculture?
I think women have been involved in growing food since the beginning of time. I think the difference is as farming has evolved to where we have equipment that can do some of the heavy labor and some of the heavy lifting. You know, we can buy a tractor that can lift a hay bale. You know, we can have ways that we can work with cattle that are safer, whatever that might be. We have technology and we have equipment that have allowed women to do more in farming. You know, you don't always have to have the strong back anymore. You need a strong mind because you have to figure out not only how to grow things, but how to market them and how to run the business in a different way and maybe keep it diverse because it's, you know, different to everybody. But, yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of people, it seems, go out of modern capitalism from office jobs and start up a small holding and try and get into organic lifestyle, organic farming. Is that changing the way that things are happening, and is that also a changing and affecting the involvement of women in the industry?
I think that I meet a lot of women who are in that role. You know, I guess I'm in that role, kind of, only it's not with a farm, right? I didn't want to climb that corporate ladder anymore and left to follow my passion. And for a lot of these women, their passion is to grow food. And I think it is creating more of a local food movement. I mean, I'm sure you guys are seeing that in Kansas City. I think we see it everywhere. You have these smaller farms, maybe they're chemical-free, maybe they're not, but focused on providing fresh food to their local community. And whether that's your CSA or farmer's market, I mean, I think it is, women are, the growth rate of women in those types of farms is huge. And it's unique, and it is a great option. I mean, we've met women who are doing that, not just where we can afford to go buy organic food, but think about, like, in Atlanta, Georgia, where they have, like, a food desert, right? And there's kids who do not have access within a 3-mile radius to any fresh food. And I've met women who are starting farms and growing food so that their community has, like, real access to fresh food, which is awesome. So I think it is affecting change, and it is affecting neighborhoods, and it is affecting communities, and there's women behind a lot of it.
And that all ties into statistics that I looked up, which say among farms that are owned and operated by women, they tend to be smaller. They tend to have less access to capital, less access to labor. They also tend to be more likely to be organic farms. They tend to be sustainable. They tend to be water-conserving farms. And they tend to have a much greater variety of agriculture that you can find within the farm. You'll find more exotic fruits, vegetables, or livestock on the farm. So there's almost a much greater diversity that's seen among the women that own and operate farms.
Oh, thinking of diversity, about a month ago they had a whole weekend in Kansas City of a show dedicated to alpacas, farming alpacas, alpaca products, the hair or fur for spinning and weaving. that's serious diversity, having enough of them to be able to do a whole weekend show about it.
That sounds worth seeing. I'll just have to alpaca my bags.
You're going to make like a tree and leaf?
Okay, let's stop the pun wars.
Yeah, that would be very unfair to our listeners. They might pay to stop us.
And to our guest, who is really, really helping us to understand and grasp the issues that women are facing trying to break into agriculture.
So one thing I think a lot of people underestimate or just don't realize is how much we depend on farms and farmers, and the connection we have to this agriculture and to this plant life that we literally depend on. Can you just explain that in more depth for our listeners?
Well, the easiest way that I can explain that is every single one of you listening has a connection to agriculture, whether you know it or not, if you are lucky enough to eat every day. And everything that you put in your mouth was grown by a farmer or a farmhand, or raised on a ranch, even if it's something that's processed and that you can't directly see what food is in it. I mean, there's usually flour, there's corn, there's, you know, oil, that all of those, everything that exists as food that we put in our bodies came from the farm. So it should matter to each and every one of us who is out there doing it, and that they're doing it, and that they're able to keep doing it. It very much matters to me, as I want to make sure that my family is fed, right? And so that is the very basicness of it, is that it does affect all of us every day.
And you talked about food deserts earlier. I know that you've also had a focus on urban farming. And I believe, too, that a majority of urban farms, or almost a parity of them, are set up and organized and run by women. And you've covered urban farming in a few of your episodes, correct?
We have. I always say, where the farm is, what it grows, how big or how small or how they grow it doesn't matter to me. It just matters that there's a woman and that she behind the scenes somewhere, or in the front of the scene, and that she's engaged and she wants to share her story. So yeah, we have covered many urban farms, and you know, while they're still very different from a rural, more traditional looking farm, the people who run them are not so different. You know, they have a love of the land. They want to nurture it. Maybe their families, or maybe their communities, or maybe the whole wide world. But the reasons they do it aren't so different. But yeah, there are a lot of urban farms out there. And I think one of the really neat things about urban farms is, for people who have no connection to agriculture, it allows them to be able to have that connection, to be able to see that farm in function, maybe to go onto that farm, maybe to buy produce from that farm. Cool things.
Yeah, I think a lot of them have school trips go to them. And I know that in the Kansas City area, back last weekend, they had a tour set up where various farms had volunteered to be open farms for the weekend, and people could get a list and go and take the farm tour and go around all the different farms and see the variety of agriculture and approaches in the area.
We also have a significant number of community gardens that are, small urban farms, and some of our KKFI volunteers and staff actually work on those, such as Mark Manning, a fellow board member, has worked in a community garden that involves school children to learn some of the basics about how to grow, how to basically do agriculture on a small scale. One of the things I wanted to ask you, Margie, is there a policy change or something that we could do at a greater societal level to help, further the cause of women in agriculture and to help encourage them or make things a little easier for them?
I think in general, having an awareness about agriculture and an openness about it is probably one of the biggest things that people can do. Women are rising to the forefront in agriculture, and it's a wave, and it's happening. And But sometimes, because agriculture is so very different from people who are not in agriculture, like it's their life. And sometimes the things, you know, the ways that they have to maybe take care of an animal, whether it's an organic farm or a conventional farm, people don't understand. And so there gets to be this, like, kind of split, you know, that happens, and it's so hard. But I would say the biggest thing that people can do is to make sure that you're aware and open to understanding why people in agriculture, because there's great people involved in agriculture, and so many of them are willing to share their story. But it takes that openness to be able to hear that story. And, of course, support your local farmers. Go to a farmer's market. Buy into a CSA. Go with your kid on a field trip to a farm. Make yourself aware of what's out there. I think that you'll be surprised and amazed. I know I have been.
And if anyone wants to get involved personally with your FarmHer organization, could you give us the website address?
Yep, it's FarmHer, so that's FarmHer.com. And if they're interested in attending our event in Kansas City, that's where they can go there to buy tickets. That's where you can read about a TV show, you can see the blog, you can see the pictures, you can read the stories, find the merchandise, and anything that is from her, you can find on our website, farmher.com.
Fine. That maybe people can suggest names for different cows, depending upon what lipstick they use.
Yes.
I have this really fantastic lipstick at home I bought in Thailand, but I can't pronounce the name because it's in Thai.
That would not be good if you were trying to call the cow in for milking.
So that has just been really fantastic. We've learned an awful lot about what you all do and what are your hopes for the future? I mean, looking ahead, as you continue this venture, how would you like to grow, and what would you like to see it turn into?
I would like it to keep expanding on our audience. I would like our audience to continue to grow outside of agriculture. I would like to find more ways to connect with people over food or over stories of women that may not have anything in the connection to agriculture. So we are working on more ways for people to be able to stream our television show, or we've been working through syndication, so it'll be available in different communities and in different ways as well. So that personally is a big goal of mine, because I think these stories are important, and I think they matter, and I think they can go so far for our society and for women. So and we have some other brands that we're working on too. We have one called Rancher. We want one called Garden Hair, we have one called Power. So as soon as I have a little more time, which I don't seem to have a lot of these days, you know, to grow some of those other brands in the same way that we have with FarmHer, to help women connect and be inspired or inspire others and provide that empowerment.
Thank you so much, Margie. We've been talking with Margie Guiler-Alanese. I hope I said your name right.
You did.
Well, thank you. Who is the founder and president of FarmHer Incorporated? You can find out more about her organization at www.farmher.com. That's FarmHer. And we are finishing up Every Woman here on KKFI. I want to thank very much Fiona for running the soundboard and engineering today.
Thank you for listening.
And Anthony for providing many good questions and support and so forth for the show. Anthony is just been a wonderful new addition to Every Woman, and we're really grateful for him.
Thank you.
So we are still taking calls and pledges to help support shows like Every Woman that introduce you to wonderful guests like we just spoke with here. If you want to donate, please call us at 888-931-0901. Go to kkfi.org/donate. Stay tuned. We're going to close with a little bit of Ukrainian folk music. And on that note, you've been listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.